Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, DFW Sports Station, and joining us on the buyersafety.com hotline to talk about Cowboys mandatory minicamp that kicked off yesterday is Mickey Spagnola. Mickey, what's up? How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Doing well. What's jumped out, even going back to the OTAs, day one of the mandatory minicamp yesterday, what are some of the things that have jumped out to you?
You know, a couple things with the wide receivers. You know, it's kind of a new group. Gosh, Cole Beasley's really the only holdover there, with Terrence Williams still rehabbing from his fractured fifth metatarsal, no Dez. Some of the young guys and the unknown guys. You know, everybody's talking about Allen Hurns, and that's fine. I understand that. I think third-round draft choice Michael Gallup has a little something to him. And I don't know if you were picking a top three day one, if he's in there, but maybe by game three or four, I could see him getting more and more reps among, if they go three wide as one of the outside guys. And I think the other guy that's kind of flown under the radar in that wide receiver group is Deontay Thompson. You know, he'd only signed a one-year deal, didn't get a big signing bonus, a big salary, but this guy's got some speed, you guys, and he impressed me. He was missing the last couple workouts. He's got a little bit of a hamstring deal going, but when he gets going, boy, this guy can fly. So to me, if nothing else, you know, he's a deep threat. He could be the replacement for Bryce Butler, and as a return guy, I don't know if you guys realize this, and I didn't until the special teams coach Keith O'Quinn pointed out to me in 2013, he took a kickoff in a preseason game against the Cowboys back 108 yards for a touchdown, and nobody touched him. I mean, nobody came close to touching him once he got going. And last year in the preseason, at the end of the half against Arizona, he was with the Bears at that time, they tried a 63-yard field goal that came up short. And he caught it with his heels almost touching the back line, and he went 109 yards for a touchdown. So this guy's got some scoot to him. And I think those two guys, from a wide receiver standpoint, kind of jumped out at me.
Speaking of wide receivers, the big quote and comment that kind of went DFW viral yesterday was Cole Beasley talking about new wideouts coach Sanjay Lal, who replaced Derek Dooley. Quote, "It feels like the first time we're actually being taught how to run routes instead of just naturally doing it. Is that just overpraising a new coach, or a little alarming that they're just being taught to run routes for the first time?"
Yeah, let me go both ways on that. Number one, I think Sanjay's a very huge route technician. He's really drilling in step by step how to run routes. And I don't know if I've seen this before with any wide receiver coach the Cowboys have had. And I go all the way back to Michael Irvin's days when Jimmy Johnson's group showed up and Hubbard Alexander was the wide receiver coach. I mean, this guy's meticulous about each step on routes and how to plant and how to carry your weight. And I think that's his calling card. You know, I was talking about him with Michael Irvin yesterday, by the way, and he said, you know, he's known about this guy for some time, and he goes, he's a really good teacher. Now, on the other hand, if Cole Beasley didn't know how to run routes, then, boy, what a miraculous 2016 season when he caught 75 passes to lead the team, right?
Yeah.
So, but Mick, a little bit on each side there.
Did you buy into all the Dez route running stories over the years? Do you put any of that on the coaching that he received?
You know what? I don't know how many wide receiver coaches he would have had since he got here in 2010, but that was always, I mean, that was his issue when he got here. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, I don't know, for a guy that didn't know how to run routes, how in the world he became the Cowboys' all-time leader in touchdown receptions.
Well, he is a freak.
He wasn't precise. I get it. And that was always his downfall. You know, he would run a route. And let's just take the Denver game last year. The interception that happened in the end zone toward the end of the game. You know, Dak is throwing a stop route, and he's running a go route into the end zone, right into the DB instead of stopping and turning and catching it. So if that's route running, it's not adjusting on the fly. Yeah, he was never good at that. But, I mean, look at his numbers. I mean, they were pretty darn good. I guess if he knew how to run routes, he'd have had 100 receptions every year. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this, you know, it's always after the fact and come up with this excuse or that excuse. And, you know, the last couple of years, let's face it, he wasn't healthy. He was injured, dealing with a rookie quarterback. You know, there was a lot of things that went on, and especially last year when the blocking broke down. Tyron Smith goes out. There's no Zeke. I mean, think about it, you guys. If you were a defensive coordinator and Ezekiel Elliott's on the field, what's your biggest worry?
Zeke Elliott.
Who's going to beat you? Well, Dez Bryant's going to beat you. So I'm going to make sure Dak Prescott and Dez Bryant don't beat me. And I think a lot of that took place that second half of the season.
You know, speaking of Dak Prescott, Brian Broaddus glowing about him, gushing on DallasCowboys.com.
I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, he pointed out two great passes and plays. Jeez. Looking off Jalen Smith, passing to Jeff Swaim. How has Dak looked in these in the times you've been able to see him?
You know, I haven't seen any difference in him. I see a guy that
you can't get better than Hall of Fame. Nick.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to put him there just quite yet. But you know, I've seen what I've seen from him before, and you know, if you, again, I think I've told you guys this before. If you look at his numbers, the first eight games of the season last year, with Tyron Smith on the field and Zeke Elliott on the field, they were very similar to what he did as his rookie season. And then the other thing with these workouts, let's remember, you're in no jeopardy of getting hurt, right? They'll blow the whistle if it gets too close. Mm-hmm. So he's got the time of the day basically in the pocket. I mean, he can run up, step up. You know, the one thing I thought was good that they were working on with him this off season is how he steps up in the pocket. Because if you step up too far and you panic too soon, then you get yourself in trouble. So they were trying to, and he was working on it, cut down on his steps, stepping up in the pocket so he doesn't go too far and get himself into a danger zone. I did notice that he's been more conscious of doing that.
Mickey Spagnuolo, the buyersafety.com hotline, the godfather from DallasCowboys.com. Mandatory practice yesterday at the Star in Frisco will continue throughout the week. What about Jalen? I'm in. I'm buying all the stuff about moving around better. We know he's not using any brace. Are you seeing a different Jalen Smith?
In these workouts, absolutely. You know, I think if we look back to last year and you saw, when he had to kind of turn, and you know, when he was going forward, he was fine.
Yeah.
But when he had to kind of turn his hips and go sideways, it took him like two or three baby steps to get going.
Yeah.
Well, to me, the baby steps have been eliminated. He's turning and he's got a little bit more burst, a little bit more explosion when he takes off. He doesn't need to go da 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 and then take off, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I see that difference. I see a more confident guy, in his knee, in his foot. Now, I'll steal the line from Rod Marinelli, pads are everything. You know, this is all fine and good, but let's see it when the pads come on, and I think we'll have a better indication of where he's at. But I think they're in a good situation, and we've talked about this on draft day with Van Der Esch there. You know, maybe Van Der Esch is the middle linebacker on their nickel formations and give him a break where he doesn't have to play 60, 70 snaps a game. Maybe they cut it back to 45 or 50 if Van Der Esch indeed can step up and play alongside Sean Lee when they go to their nickel.
What's your take on the David Irving drama?
In what respect? Like where he's been?
Where his mindset is? Was it a shape thing? Do you feel confident he'll be able to put this behind him? Rod Marinelli.
I think he's taken this time. I mean, it was a family issue that he was trying to get settled, my understanding. And it has taken some time. And I think they basically told him, hey, go work on this. I mean, they knew every step of the way what's been going on. And see if you can get this set. So when we get to training camp, all you got to do is worry about football. And I think that's what he's been concentrating on. And, you know, he obviously was a little bit overweight when they started the mini camps, and they just wanted him to work. And that's what he did yesterday. So I would assume he'll continue doing that today. And while everybody else gets some time off, I imagine they're going to want him to be there working, getting his strength and conditioning up so he's ready for training camp. If he's ready, and if he gets this behind him and it doesn't get in the way off the field, then, yeah, I think he could be a pretty dynamic player, especially pairing him inside possibly with Jihad Ward. Dr. J, by the way, if you talk to Marinelli. And I don't think he knows who Dr. J is. I think he thinks he's just calling him that because his first name's hard to pronounce, maybe, and it starts with a J. But I think that they could have something in a rotation there if and when he gets back out there and he's ready to go. I still think he's a dynamic player, and the good thing for him is his teammates haven't turned their back on him. They're still pulling for him, and they're still trying to get him in there to be able to help them out, by the way, because they understand his talent.
All right, tell us about Jihad Ward, because brought us, you know, excited everyone the other day by listing him as his number one surprising player so far. What has this guy been doing?
Well, he's just, I mean, we're talking a guy that's, I'm doing this off the top of my head. He's like 6'5".
Yeah.
He's 295 pounds, but he moves like he's 6'3", 250. And Oakland had him as a defensive end in their 3-4. So he's got a two gap, right? And he wasn't real good at that. But Marinelli sees him as a guy that's got that size that can move inside, but has the quickness that those guards and centers aren't used to dealing with. And you could kind of see it in here. Now, again, I'll go back to the pads thing, but from no pads and just showing quickness and quick feet, he's got some possibilities inside. And the other thing is he is so happy to be here, to be out of Oakland. He doesn't say anything bad about Oakland, but all he says is, this is such a good situation for me. I said, well, you're prepared for Marinelli, right? You know about him? He goes, as long as he's calling me something and he's calling me, then I know he cares, and I'll give him everything I got. So it was an interesting conversation I had with him. And, I think, remember, as a rookie, he had, I don't know, 7-8 sacks for Oakland. And then things went downhill last year for some reason. They gave up on him, and the Cowboys more than happy to bring him on after they had worked with him at the Senior Bowl a couple of years ago when he was coming out.
Mickey, how alive do you think, if at all, the Earl Thomas flame is?
Oh, I think it's going to sit there, and it'll continue to sit there. I think the Cowboys are kind of, how should I put this, kind of interested spectators on this whole thing. My point on it, and Broadus and I got into it yesterday on our talk show, he's like, give him the world, give him every draft choice they want, just get him here. And my point is, what? I think he's a player, but I also remember he's 29 years old, had a couple injuries the last couple of years. I don't want to give up my second round pick. If I can get him for a third and I don't have to pay him $14 million a year over 3 years, then I'm all in. But I just can't see paying that much for a free safety. I understand the qualities he would bring. I understand the experience he would bring to a secondary that's pretty young. But I just can't give up the ranch to bring in a free safety. And that's kind of my take on it. So
especially
I think
when
keep an eye on it and see where it goes.
Especially when they would only get a comp four for him after this year for having him leave in free agency. So why would you give up anything higher?
I'm not making the trade if he doesn't sign an extension.
Right. Yeah.
I'm against the $14 million. Now, if I can get him for, I don't know, 3 years, $25 million, 3 years, $30 million, and a third round draft choice, I'd do it tomorrow if Seattle would take it. But to me, if you're going to just give in and say, yeah, here's $14 million a year and here's a second, who am I bidding against? Because obviously no one else has given Seattle anything that they want for him, and it sounds like they would like to keep him. So this could be a type of thing that kind of continues going through training camp, and, you know, they're just kind of, you know, playing a game in Seattle. You know, he's sitting there going, oh, I'm not showing up, and they're going, well, we're not giving you up. And normally when push comes to shoves, players don't lose money, and if he's got to play for poor $8.5 million this last year, I bet he shows up the first week of the season.
Great stuff, Mick. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you guys. We'll have two more days of OTAs, and then, or I guess mini camp, and then adios for a month.
Mickey Spagnola, FireSafety.com hotline from DallasCowboys.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.